بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 105. قال الله تعالى ما يود الذين كفروا. We finished that. Also, we finished 106. We're going to go for 107. That's right. نعم. قال الله عز وجل ألم تعلم أن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير. Know you not that it is Allah to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. And besides Allah, you have neither any wali, supporter, protector, helper, nor any helper. وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. So, Allah alone, therefore, is the one to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And this is Allah's kingdom. And this kingdom is a possession of substance and of descriptions and of running of the affairs. So the substances in the heavens and the earth and their descriptions belong to Allah, and the tadbir, the running of the affairs, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses the running of the affairs in the heavens and in the earth as He wishes. No opponent to stand facing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can prevent Him from that. And the samawat is a plural of sama, and it refers to highness, what's above, as well as to the roof and ceiling. And this is what is meant in this verse, the roof and the ceiling, and they are seven, as came in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, seven heavens. And al-ard, like them, the earth, this refers to the kind. The earth here refers to the kind, so this comprises also the seven earths, all of them. And besides Him, Allah, you have neither any wali. No one is to give you protection and thus bring you good, and no one is to help you and repel evil from you. The benefits of this verse is, number one, affirming the comprehensive kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not contradicted by the fact that man is described to possess certain things, because this possession for man is not added to him by way of being absolute. Because the possession of man is limited and imperfect. It is limited from the time he possesses it until the time he gives it to others, or it goes away from him by way of selling or a gift or death and so forth. Similarly, it is not perfect because he does not possess the ability to run the affairs of what he possesses as he wishes. Because his conduct towards what he possesses is limited by what is permissible by way of Sharia. And that's why if someone wants to burn his possession, he has legally no right to do that. Similarly, he possesses only that which is under his direct possession, and therefore it does not cover the possession by others. Secondly, from the benefits of this verse, that the possession of the heavens and the earth is particular to Allah alone. And thirdly, it is from the possession that belongs to Allah, it's under His dominion, under His authority, that He abrogates whatever He wishes. That He abrogates whatever He wishes and confirms and affirms whatever He wishes. And this came right after the verses of abrogation, or the verse of abrogation which we discussed yesterday. And this stands as a clarification to that verse where Allah said, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ, whatever a verse we abrogate, to the end of the verse. So the one who possesses the heavens and the earth has the full right to act in whatever way he wishes and in accordance with his perfect wisdom, knowledge and justice. And the fourth point is, no one can repel anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, and no one can repel any evil. If Allah permitted it to befall upon someone, nor one can repel any good if Allah wills it to befall anyone. He is the protector, He is the helper. And from the benefits also, from this we know therefore that man should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seeking protection and help. Now, if someone asks the following question, we read in the Quran that Allah, as in Surah Al-Anfal 8:62, هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين بنصره وبالمؤمنين. And therefore he is, and if they intend to deceive you, then verily Allah is all sufficient for you. And the point of evidence is, He it is who has supported you with His help and with the believers. Look at that. With His help and with the believers. So Allah is affirming a help for other than Him. Also we read in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 40. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. If you help him, if you help him, help him, you, if you help him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you help him not, for Allah did indeed help him when the disbelievers drove him out, the second of two, when they, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, were in the cave on their way to Medina from Mecca. So in these verses now, we see affirmation of help attributed to other than Allah. So what is the answer for this? The answer: affirming help for other than Allah is affirming to the cause only. Is affirming of the cause only. It is not an independent help. It is not an independent help. Because the independent help is the one that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the help which is affirmed to other than Allah, in this case the believers, is linked to the cause. There are causes for it. And from the benefits of this verse is, what man looks for is either bringing forth a benefit, and thus he needs a supporter and helper, or to repel harm, and therefore he needs a helper to repel it of him. This brings the end of the benefits on this verse, so we move now to the next verse, 108. أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. The next verse, 108, please. Or do you want to ask your messenger, as Musa was asked before? You remember when the children of Israel asked Musa, "Show us openly your Lord." قَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. And he who changes faith for disbelief, verily he has gone astray from the right way. أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا. Or do you want to ask your messenger? The address here, it is said that it is to the Jews when they asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for certain signs, to bring forth certain signs. And it is also said that this may refer to being an address to the mushriks, to the pagans, because Allah said, as in Surah Al-Isra 17:90, وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. This is the second opinion, that it is addressing the mushriks. Because Allah said, and they say, "We shall not believe in you, Muhammad, until you cause a spring to gush forth from the earth for us." And it is said this address is to the Muslims. And the verse is correct, covering the three cases, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sent to all the Jews, the pagans, and those who are Muslims. However, particularizing it, making it particular to the Jews, can be remote, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ. In the beginning of the verse, Allah says, or do you want to ask your messenger, as Moses was asked before. So then the meaning of the ayah, do you want to bring forth these questions to your messenger, as did the children of Israel with their messenger, meaning Musa alayhi salam? And there is no doubt that the exclamation here, or do you, this is a denunciation against those who bring forth many questions, excessive questions, to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is a matter that shouldn't be taking place. And that's why it came in this form, an exclamation, or do you want to? Rasulakum, asked your messenger. Allah added al-Rasul to himself, or to them rather, Rasulakum, added it to them. Yet we know that in many verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds al-Rasul to him in the conjugation of the statement, like Ya Ahl al-Kitabi قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ. O people of the book, our messenger came to you, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:15. And we can understand this according to the following understanding. that he is a Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger, in the sense that Allah sent him, a messenger from Allah. And our messenger, Rasuluna, in the sense that he is sent to us. And this is, of course, referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, here's the Ya Ahl al-Kitab, or people of the scripture, now has come to you our messenger. This is the point of evidence we were discussing. كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ Or do you want to ask your messenger as Musa was asked before, meaning as the children of Israel asked Musa before. Like when they said in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً This is from the encounters of the children of Israel with Musa. This is one case. لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا So they asked him, fifty-five. And remember when you said, O Musa, O Moses, we shall never believe in you till we see Allah plainly. So they asked to see Allah plainly. And also, like they're saying in Surah Al-A'raf 7:138, قَالُوا جَعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهًا اجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهًا And we brought the children of Israel across the sea, and they came upon a people devoted to some of their idols. You know, here's the point. They said, O Musa, make for us a god as they have. And many other questions. So the children of Israel were known by having these excessive and stubborn and improperly disciplined way of asking questions. As to this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly disciplined it and taught it not to ask about any matter unless there is a need for that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ The last part of the statement, please. And he who changes faith for disbelief, verily he has gone astray from the right way. From the right way, which is the medium way. Meaning he went astray from the medium course to the side, to the sides of the way and to its branches. And the way of Allah is one. And the one who wants to save himself from misguidance and going astray, let him take this right and medium course, medium path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The points of benefit. Number one, denouncing excessive questioning to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it came in the form of exclamation, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ Or do you want to? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith reported by Imam Muslim said, ذَرُونِي مَا تَرَكْتُمْ ذَرُونِي مَا تَرَكْتُكُمْ فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ بِكَثْرَةِ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ Leave me with that what I have left to you. For those who were before you were destroyed because of excessive questioning and their opposition to their messengers. So when I command you to do something, do it as much as it lies in your power. And when I forbid you to do or committing something, then abandon it. And also he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is from the gravest matters of, or gravest sin is, or rather the gravest of Muslims in their wrongdoing is man sa'ala an shay, is for someone to ask about something which is not unlawful, and it became unlawful because of his questioning. And from this we know that there was a denunciation for those who used to, or yes, used to have excessive questioning. And what is required from the Muslim during the time of revelation is to keep silent until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals whatever He wishes from the command or prohibition. And from the benefits, we know that the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a benefit to us, because Allah addressed him by saying Rasulakum, your messenger. So sending him is a benefit to us. And from the benefits is that excessive questioning to the Prophet ﷺ has resemblance to the Jews, because Allah reminded here, or do you want to ask your messenger as the children of Israel asked, or as Musa was asked, referring to the children of Israel. And from this we learn therefore that one should not therefore bring a question except for a benefit. However, if something occurred with a person such that he needs to know the ruling on that thing occurring with him, or a seeker of knowledge seeks to learn so that he can deduct the understanding of a certain matter from its origin, or if someone asks about a doubtful matter in order to make sure that he doesn't indulge in it. However, questions aimed at checking someone only, or even worse, checking the saying of a scholar so that he can strike it against another and the like, or to press or harass or afflict hardship upon the person he is asking and embarrass him, all of these then are blameworthy and should not take place. From the benefits is blaming the children of Israel, since Allah mentioned them in this verse by way of blame, warning not to do the same as they did from the excessive questioning. And from that is that the Jews asked Musa about certain things, so the outcome concerning these matters was terrible. they asked about certain things which were made clear to them, but they didn't act accordingly. And from that is the affirmation of Musa's message. Because he said, Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ, as Musa was asked, meaning while he was a messenger. And from the benefits, holding the one who changes faith or substitutes faith with kufr as blameworthy. And this covers both. It covers the one who stays on a state of kufr after iman is told to him or made clear to him, and also covers the one who rejects iman after believing, since in reality this is substitution. Because every child, everyone is born on the fitrah. And from the benefits, anyone who chooses kufr for iman, then he's gone astray. And from that, the opposite. Anyone who substitutes iman for kufr, then he is guided to the right way. And there is a response to a deviant. There is a response to a deviant sect. The deviant sect is known as Al-Jabriya. Al-Jabriya comes from Al-Jabr. Determinism. Those who say that man has no will in his actions and he is compelled to do them. And the verse where Allah says here, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ, and anyone who substitutes kufr for iman, indicates that man has a will, and therefore this stands in, as a response to those deviants from the Jabriya. And from the benefits is that the person who asks should follow or should act in accordance to that, in accordance with the response he receives. Because if he knows and does not act according to this acquired knowledge, then he in this case substituted kufr for iman. Because after the matter became clear to him, he rejected. So therefore, it's obligatory upon the person, if he asks someone he trusts, to act according to his saying. And that's why the ulama said, anyone who asks a mufti, a scholar who is capable of giving fatwa, and he adheres to his saying, then it is forbidden for him to ask another one. Because when he asked him, he was in a state of believing that what he is going to say represents the Sharia. So if he believes as such, then he shouldn't ask someone else. Yes, however, if he asks someone whom he trusts, that his fatwa is the shara, and he gives him this fatwa, However, he hears in another circle of knowledge, another ruling opposite to the ruling which he took earlier and fortified with evidence, then in this case he can change. But rather it is incumbent upon him to change. Or in the situation, if someone asks a scholar in his community and he is the only person of knowledge in his community, if he asks him, however, keeping an intention that if he finds another one who is more knowledgeable than this scholar, he will ask him, this is permissible. If he finds someone else who is more knowledgeable than the person in his community. These are some of the cases where it is permissible for the person to change in terms of the answer or to the fatwa that he may receive under these conditions that you have heard. And Allah the Most High knows best. This brings the end of the benefits of this verse, and we will stop here inshallah. Tomorrow we'll go over verse 109. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.